Okay, well, welcome to week two of our series, Countdown to Christmas. Pastor Dave was here with us last week as he opened this series talking about Wonderful Counselor. Did you guys enjoy having Pastor Dave last week? I heard it was a great message. Here's three things he talked about. He talked about, one, being brutally honest with God. Because here's the truth. God knows everything. And it's interesting that we see in the beginning when God creates man and woman, and then when they choose to disobey God and sin enters the world, the first thing they do is try to hide themselves. And it's interesting because for some reason we do the same thing. I think it's really because the enemy wants to work shame into us. And what God desires us to do is just bring those things to him. Because honestly, we're not hiding it anyways. And so being brutally honest with God. Number two, it's learning to hear God's voice, learning to listen to him. So as our wonderful counselor, we're honest with him. I mean, how many of you know if you sit down with a counselor and you lie the whole time, like, why are you paying the money? No, go and be honest and then listen to his voice because he's our counselor. And then the third thing is that we do what he says. And so that's what we talked about last week with Wonderful Counselor. And so we're counting down to Christmas, and thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, Israel was counting down to Christmas as well. They just didn't necessarily know it. They were waiting for a Savior. They had prophecies for thousands of years that somebody was going to come and be a Savior and rescue God's people and do these incredible things. And that's really what it says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This is where we're pulling this series from. Isaiah 9, 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so this weekend, we're talking about Mighty God. Isaiah prophesied that not only is one coming who's a wonderful counselor, who can listen to us, who can carry our burdens, who can give us knowledge, who can give us wisdom, but he's also saying there's one coming who is Mighty God, who can heal sickness and disease, who can protect us, who can actually work on our behalf, who can do something, and also who can forgive sin. So he's not just Wonderful Counselor. He's not just good at listening and helping in that way. No, he can actually do something. He can actually intervene into our lives and into our situations and work on our behalf. Is there ever a time that you can think of where you felt in awe of God's might? You know, the world does this every day, even though they may not recognize or they may not say, wow, I'm really in awe of God. Even atheists, we've talked about this before, somebody who doesn't believe in God or agnostics, and yet maybe they devote their lives to learning about the stars and the cosmos. And they're so, I mean, you hear some people like that talk about science so passionately. And I'm like, if you just connect the dots, that there's a designer behind it. But they're in awe of looking into the human body and seeing how complicated and intricate it is and how all nature works together and has these pieces and parts. And people stand in awe. Or maybe, how many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Throw your hands up. Okay. Maybe we should all take a trip to the Grand Canyon. I don't know. But I've heard about it. My father took a trip to the Grand Canyon recently, and he said, man, it really is how people say, like, you could see pictures of it. He's like, but when you're standing there and you feel so immensely tiny, can you say that? Can you say immensely tiny? Well, I did, so you're welcome. You feel so small as you're standing before something so vast. Or maybe you've stood at the ocean or at a mountaintop or at a lake, one of those lakes that looks like an ocean, you know, there's no other side. You just begin to feel so small. We've had lots of people having babies around here. Maybe it's at the birth of a child and you're just like, oh, where did you come from? Like, you just materialized. It's crazy. And you're just in awe. Well, if we really look at all of those things, they're just a reflection of God's might. we say, wow, look at the Grand Canyon, or maybe it's something just incredible has happened, that you have to realize that if every single one of these things was created and fashioned by God, and we stand in awe of him. I remember one time, I don't have too many of these moments. Like, I try really hard to, like, when I'm in nature, connect to the Lord. And honestly, it's just a stretch for me sometimes. It doesn't come very natural for me. I connect most to the Lord like sitting in a chair in a dimly lit room with a book. Okay, that's me. But I love being out in nature and things like that. But I remember one time when we were youth pastors in Savannah years and years and years and years and years ago, that there was a thunderstorm happening. And I walked outside and I was kind of standing under this awning just watching the rain. And one of the loudest, most immense flashes of lightning and thunder happened. And it shook the area that I was standing under, and it like shook me to my core. And I just remember this one time when that happened, I felt like God said, I am the Lord. And I just stood there just in awe of the might and the power of God. Here's what Jeremiah 32:17 says. It starts like this. It says, ah, sovereign Lord. Ah, sovereign Lord. It's funny, this word awe in the Hebrew is a word meaning pain and surprise. Here's a few other ways that it's used. These aren't on the screen, but Judges 6:22 says that when Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, oh, sovereign Lord, I am doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. 2 Kings 6:5 says, as the one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, sir, he cried, it was a borrowed axe. And you're seeing the different uses of it. So, oh, ah. In Jeremiah 1:6, it says, oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. So you see these different instances where they say, ah, oh, it's surprise, it's pain, it's this realization of someone and something that's happened. And so he goes on, he says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. I know we read that and we know that, and I don't know why for us as humans. And I think it's just in the reality of life that when we face difficult circumstances, it's difficult for us to say, oh, nothing's too hard for him. I don't really know what to do with my marriage right now, but nothing's too hard for him. You know, a lot of times it's in a painful way. We have to dig down. And maybe you came in here today and you're saying, ah, Lord, my marriage is a mess. I don't know what to do. Ah, Lord, I need a job to provide. Ah, Lord, my children desperately need you. Ah, Lord, I'm sick. I need healing in my body. I'm addicted. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck in a cycle of sin, and I'm so frustrated at myself, but I don't know how to get out. Ah, Lord, we want to have a child, but it seems like we can't. Psalm 24:8 through 10 says this. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty. He is the Lord, mighty in battle. Remember what we sang? This is how we fight our battles. We fight our battles in worship. We fight our battles in prayer. We fight our battles in Christian community, not by running away when things get hard and being like, well, things are hard and it's a little too busy right now. But no, we say it's hard and it's busy, so I need to get into the house of the Lord. I need to get around people. I need to get in worship. I need to get in prayer. There's a book titled Too Busy Not to Pray. Because most of them, I'm just too busy right now. We're too busy not to pray. It says, lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory can come in. Who is he, this King of glory? He is the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. And I think in a figurative way, let's take that up today, is lift up your heads, oh you people. Open your doors. Open your gates. He is the King of glory. And let him come in and do something mighty in your life today. You know, there's three characteristics of God that basically is what's said, is that if God doesn't have one of these, even one of them is missing, then he's not truly God. And you learned about one of them last week. The first one is that God is omniscient. God is omniscient. God knows everything. God knows everything. He knows all things at all times for all time. And last week, Pastor showed you in Psalm 139 that our wonderful counselor knows all about our thoughts. He knows where we've been. He knows where we are, and that we don't need to hide from him, but we need to be open to him, bring things to him. So God is omniscient. The second one is that God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent, which means that he is everywhere. God is everywhere. So not only does God know all things at all times for all time, God is in all places at all times for all time. This one will kind of begin to stretch you a little bit. So here's kind of three things: that God is present personally. God is present personally, so he's near to you. Because to hear that he's in all places at all times, the crazy thing about God is that he is everywhere at all times for all time. So he's not just here, he's everywhere, but he's also outside of time, but yet he speaks to each and every one of us individually. So everybody sitting in this room today, God is communicating to you or trying to communicate to you personally who you are, where you're at, what you need. And so God is present personally. God is present globally or universally. So he's not just here, he's in China. He's in South America, meeting people's needs. And also God is present eternally. So he sees the end from the beginning. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. And the last one is that God is omnipotent. Omnipotent. God is powerful. God is all power. So God has all power at all times for all time. And any power that you and I experience is because God has given it to us. It's the same way with wisdom or joy or love that's true and sincere, that's of God. All of these things God himself possessed. And then when he created, he decided to create the heavens and the earth and people, he began dispensing from what he has. And his supply never runs out. And so any power that you and I experience is an extension that God has given us. And these three characteristics of God together make him mighty. That God knows all things, God is everywhere, God has all power, and he is mighty God. You know, every day I see and I hear and I experience the things that people are going through. And I see God moving in power. But when I think about not only the difficulties here in our community and in our church body and in our families, but obviously around the world, I just begin to say, God, I want to see your power at work even more. And so here's what we want to look at today for the next few moments. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. And maybe you have something today you want somebody to pray for you about before we dismiss today. We're going to have a time of worship for a moment to allow God to speak to us. But here's the first thing. With all that in view, Jesus' mighty power is at work in you. So first and foremost, Jesus' mighty power is at work in you. Here's what Philippians 2, verse 12 says. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now remember, and we were talking to our kids this morning about it, work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. You can't work for salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God in Christ Jesus so that nobody can boast, so nobody can say, look what I did, look how great I am. It's a free gift. But when the grace of God truly touches our lives, things begin to change. And we have this desire. So after we talked to our kids about it, we got out of the van in the parking lot today. My oldest son, Brendan, ran around to go help mommy with her purse and her bags. And I reminded him in that moment, I said, hey, why are you doing that? And he said, well, because it'd be nice to do. And I said, exactly, because you love her and she loves you. And so you want to carry it for her. You're not going to carry it for her so that she will love you. But no, you receive the love of God. And out of that, you say, God, I want to please you. I want to follow you. And that's because God does a real supernatural changing work inside of you. Salvation is not just simply a decision. You go, yeah, Jesus sounds pretty good. I guess I'll get saved. No, God is doing a supernatural work in you to be saved. And that's when he changes you. He does something inside of you. So God's power is at work in you. So continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, this honor and this respect of God. And then it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God works in you. The greatest work of God in you is not the healing of your body. It is not the moving of circumstances. There's a story where these friends bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. You may know the story. And they tear through the roof because there's too many people outside. And they lower the man down. And he's on his mat. And Jesus looks at him and tells him his sins are forgiven. And so the religious teachers in the room and around the area, they're like, oh, who in the world do you think you are that you could tell someone their sin is just forgiven? You can just make that decision, their sin's forgiven? And Jesus looks at them and says, well, what's easier? To tell somebody their sins are forgiven or to heal them and tell them to get up and walk? And so to prove that he had power over both, he says, hey, pick up your mat and walk. And the man's healed from his paralyzed position. And so Jesus proves he has this power over both. And so in Jesus' healing of the body was never the primary purpose for what he was doing. Because if he just heals your body and then you go on living the way you want apart from him, what is it for a man to gain the whole world yet lose his soul? And so the deeper healing was the man's sinful state. It can't be healed, it can't be remedied by anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ. So the greatest work of God in you is the healing of your soul. And that's the primary work he's doing in you. First, you enter into it at salvation, but then you begin to walk with him. And it is him working in you to will, to even have the desire, and to do what is good in his eyes. It's making you a new creation. So Jesus' mighty work is that power is at work in you. Number two, Jesus' mighty power is at work for you. Jesus' mighty power is at work for you. So remember, if it's his power at work in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure, then he's wanting you to walk out his good purposes. And so then he says, I'll work for you to help you do those things. Here's what Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 29 says. It says that he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. And that word youth, and it talking about young men there, it's actually talking about these athletes, like the greatest in shape people. People kind of like myself. I'm just kidding. I went on like a hike Friday and it was interesting. And so it goes on to say these people, these model athletes in a sense, they'll stumble, they'll fall, they'll grow tired, they'll grow weary. But then watch what it says in verse, as it continues on in verse 31. But those who hope, other translations say, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If you place your hope and your trust in the Lord, if you wait on him, he works for you. He works on your behalf. And I'm thinking, I know there are situations in life that, and maybe you're facing them now, that it feels like things just kind of stack on top of each other. But what I think oftentimes we do is we try so hard to work on our own behalf. And it's a discipline, and it is really a spiritual thing. Like, you either believe that God will work on your behalf or he won't. And it's no joke in how we're talking about that's how we fight our battles. If God's going to work in you and he's going to work for you, what I'm telling you is a lot of times you need to do less. That sometimes we try so hard to figure it out and to make it work. And a lot of times, God's going to give you steps to take, but most of the time, he needs to work something out in here and in here first. If there are challenges in the home between husband and wife, God's got to do a work in your heart and in your spouse's heart before you just try to do things together to make it better. And sometimes we pursue so many natural ways of making it better, but God needs to do supernatural work in our hearts and in our minds every single day to make us more like Jesus, because I'm telling you, Jesus is the easiest person to live with. And so if we'll just both keep becoming more like Jesus, God begins to heal and repair and mend and takes you steps and begins to work for you. And so I'm just encouraging you that there are things you're going to face, even if it's financial things, and you think, I just got to work harder, I just got to do more, and that might be what God leads you to do. But if you can't stop and say, God, I'm struggling, and this is hard right now, and I don't really know what to do, and I know that you know my problems, but here's what they are, and I want to give them to you, so I'm asking you, would you please work on my behalf? Would you please lead me? God, would you go before me? Would you open up doors that I can't open? God, if I'm doing something wrong, would you speak to me? Just show me. And then you know what you do? This. I'm listening. And if I went around the room and asked, and even polled myself, I feel like we probably do a lot less of that and a lot more of, I don't know what's going on. I just need to figure it out. Let me Google it. Let me ask, does anybody have a job? Does anybody, you know, and we get so busy on trying to make all these things happen ourselves. The first place is God working in you. Yeah, then when you have an issue, you ask him to work for you. Yeah, and then number three, Jesus' mighty power is at work through you. Because you need God to go do things you can't do. You need him to go work for you. You need him to go work on people's hearts and work on situations and open doors and all these other things. And then he'll come to you and be like, okay, here's what I need you to do. Here's the step I need you to take. And he begins to work through you. Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we have to realize too that God's power working through us is not only about us and our situations and what's going on. And we've talked about this before. Sometimes God will lead you to work and do something on someone else's behalf. And oftentimes it's through that that God then begins to do things on your behalf as well. So God, he wants to work in us, he wants to work for us, and he wants to work through us. And next week is our Christmas offering toward kingdom builders. We need God to work in us and for us and through us because we know that this world needs Jesus. And that's a heart that we have to carry as a church. And I don't think you'd want to be a part of a church. I think Pastor Dave may have said this last week, that who wants to be a part of a church that doesn't have a vision bigger than themselves? That isn't calling each and every one of us in the midst of what we're going through to still not neglect what we're going through, but say, hey, listen, there are other things going on too. And I'm calling you to be a part of what else is going on, enlarge your worldview, and watch me begin to do things, even on your behalf, as you begin to work on others' behalf, and you begin to serve other people. You know, our Christmas offering this year, as it's going toward meeting our goal for our kingdom builders giving over the last year, is that we're partnering with with something called the China Project. We've partnered with a ministry before called the Stone Table for different projects. And so we're partnering with a project in China, and we're going to actually have somebody sharing more information about that very specific detail next week. But I want to give you just a glimpse into the need in China. And maybe you got one of these booklets when you came in. This is actually a magazine produced by the Assemblies of God World Mission, and it's all about things that are going on in China and efforts and the persecution and things that they're facing. But most of you know that China is a massive country. Its population is 1.4 billion people. That means that one out of five people on our planet lives in China. And the interesting thing about China is that if you dropped into China, there's so much Western influence that it would look very much like a lot of what you see around here. It says there's 5,138 KFCs. Got to get your fried chicken. I don't know, maybe you're a Popeyes person. Or Bojangles, I guess that's the other one. There's a lot of McDonald's, there's Starbucks, there's skyscrapers, there's high-rise apartments. But in the midst of all of this, the president, Xi Jinping, he's the president of the People's Republic of China, has put the most stringent restrictions on Christians that China has seen for a very long time. For example, it's illegal for a member of the Communist Party of China to be a Christian. We shared some of this at our prayer service this past Wednesday. That local police in smaller provinces have been going into homes of Christians. They've been replacing pictures of Jesus with pictures of President Xi. President Xi is called December 25th a day of shame in China. On September 10th, the New York Post wrote the following in an article titled China Wages War on Jesus. It says China's government is ratcheting up a crackdown on Christian congregations in Beijing and several provinces, destroying crosses, burning Bibles, shutting churches, and ordering followers to sign papers renouncing their faith. There's two major factors that compel us to focus on China in our Christmas offering, our miracle Christmas offering this month. The first is increasing persecution, and the second is that there are millions and millions of people who don't know Jesus yet in China, and God has given us an open door. Here's what Revelation 3, 7 through 8 says. It says that what he opens, these are the words of him who's holy and true, who holds the key of David, what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. It says, I know your deeds. I see I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. We know that God has given us an open door into working on behalf of Christians and people that don't know Jesus in China yet. And no one can close the doors that God has held open, and no one can open the doors that God has decided to keep shut. And maybe even in here today, you feel like a shut door. You may be shut, but can I tell you today that God has opened a door for you? That maybe you're in here today and you need Jesus first and foremost to begin a work in you. Maybe for the first time. Or maybe you feel like, you know, you said a prayer a long time ago, but you feel so distant. And as we talk about some of these things, you're like, man, I really don't feel God working in me. I certainly don't feel him working for me, and I don't sense him working through me. I want to first give you an opportunity today to make a decision to follow Jesus, or to renew a decision to follow Jesus. And then we're going to give you opportunity to maybe come and pray with somebody at the altar, or to worship from your seat. But if everybody could for a moment, just bow your head and close your eyes. If you're in here today and you're saying, that's me. I want to see God begin a work in me today. I've said a prayer at one time, but I'm not living in what I said. I don't feel God at work in me, and I've been doing what I want to do. If that's you in here, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hand up so I know who I'm praying for today? I can pray with you today. Amen. Amen. Listen, I can't save you. I can't work in you, but Jesus can. So all you have to do is say something like this: Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to follow you. I see myself. I know who I am, and I know what I'm capable of. I believe that I have sinned and I've not followed your ways. And I'm asking today, would you forgive me? Would you heal me? I want to make you Lord of my life. Father, I ask for others today that need you to work for them today. Not for us so that we can do more things our way, but for us so we can keep working in your ways, so we can keep walking in your ways. Ultimately, God, it's not about us, it's about you. It's about your kingdom and your glory and your purposes and your ways. And we're saying, work for us so we can continue reaching people and we continue walking in your ways. God, there are those of us in here today that we're ready, we're positioned, and we want to see you work through us even more. We want to see you work through us as mighty God as we go into our workplaces and as we are in our families, as we're fathers leading our children and husbands leading our wives. And God, all the places that you've put us, and even with our Christmas offering, that we want to see you work through us. We want to be a part of that, that when we celebrate us meeting our $40,000 goal or exceeding it, we can say, I had a part in that. I was part of that. And when we celebrate the work that's being done in China, we can say, I had a part in that. Thank you for using me, working through me. God, just over the next few moments, I ask that you'd speak to us individually and personally, the things that you want to say to us and how you want to work in us and for us. Through us. In Jesus' name.